Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until almost said midnight. That's what I do on Sunday nights. Be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call today, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We can get you on the air here today. We've got some open time today, and we normally do that mostly on our Sunday night program. And if you've not listened to us before, we're on every Sunday night at 11 o'clock until midnight, and we have open phone lines during that time as well. And we're more than welcome to join us there on Sunday night from 11 till midnight. Also, since I'm talking about answering Bible questions and things, we also do that in our Friday night Bible study. And certainly invite you to that. There'll be more information at the end of the program on our church and everything. But we have a Bible study. It's an informal open Bible study every Friday night from 7 o'clock. Starts at 7 o'clock and runs till 9. If you can't stay that long, that's fine. If you want to stay longer, that's fine too. But it officially runs 7 to 9. And we have people come in. You got questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. It's a great informal setting to be able to ask those questions, and we look into the Word of God to see what the Bible has to say. And we have refreshments and things, and like I said, it's informal. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That's midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road. Like I said, the information will be at the end of the program as well. And it's right off the highway, right off 77 and the turnpike. In fact, they meet right there, right by the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. Well, we're going to get into a few things today. So a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find information about about our program, about our church. You can listen to past programs. You can look at some of the things that I've, articles and things that I've written. There's some other materials and information there. So check us out at livewithpastoral.com. Let's open our program today with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Help us to be a blessing to somebody, encouragement to somebody today as we look into your word. And again, we can point that you could use us to point people that are searching to Christ. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, like I said, good to be with you today. And well, there's a number of things that are happening in the news. It seems like every week something more. Every day there's something more. And do pray for our country. You know, we are enjoined in Scripture, as I've said before, to pray for our country and to pray for our leaders. Let me just read that passage again in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where he says, starting in verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It doesn't matter whether you voted for them or not. It says that we should pray for them. And one of the things that we pray for them for, obviously, is that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then he continues in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So we want godly leaders, but unfortunately we don't always have godly leaders. And so when we don't have godly leaders, we need to pray for them. And our church prays for Joe Biden every week. We pray for him during the church service. We pray for him during our prayer meeting. We pray for his salvation. I don't believe the man is saved. if he's saved, he sure does a good job of hiding it. He's not even a good Catholic. I guess some of the bishops have refused him the Mass even because of his anti-life positions on abortion. He is probably one of the most ardent abortion-favoring presidents that we've had so far. So he's certainly not anything about him in his life, anything about him in the things that he said, says. He did an Easter address, never mentioned Jesus, never mentioned the resurrection, the whole reason for the Easter holiday, and used it to go into some diatribe about why you need to get a vaccine. And I'm not going to get into all that right now, but just let you know, pray for the man. He needs salvation. And when you look at some of the things that he said, it's clear that he's not all there. And I just remind people that back when we were able to be in the nursing homes, we've had opportunity in the past over the years of being ministering in the nursing homes to see people in a nursing home who have dementia, who are confused. And then because people are praying for their salvation. I've seen it. Other people that I know have seen it. And I've seen it when I'm talking with people. I've seen it when other people are talking with people, where a person who's confused as can be with dementia, Alzheimer's or whatever, suddenly you'll see clarity and focus come into their face, into their eyes, and they'll understand, they'll listen to the gospel message, they'll understand it, they'll pray, they'll put their faith in Christ, and within moments of having called upon Jesus to save them, within moments of salvation, you'll see the confusion just start to come right back over like a veil over their face, and they'll see that they're back in the throes of dementia once more. But God gave them a little window of opportunity in order to be saved. I pray that for our president. I mean, he needs salvation. Well, I'm talking about the president, and one of the reasons is that he made a statement yesterday regarding the amendments in the Constitution of the United States. And specifically, he was talking in the Second Amendment, but he used the First Amendment as part of his example. And in the statement that he made, he said, "No amendment to the Constitution is absolute." Now, we have rules of law in our country, and they're laid down, principles are laid down in the Constitution. There's a number of articles that make up the bulk of the Constitution, 7 articles. And then in addition to that, we have a number of constitutions, and there's a whole process. We've got 27 constitutional amendments that have been made. Now, the amendments are every bit a part of the Constitution as the articles are. And so for Joe Biden to say no amendment to the Constitution is absolute, he's basically saying nothing in the Constitution is absolute. He's trying to say that the Constitution means whatever you want it to say whenever you want it to say it. And it doesn't mean anything that you don't want to mean whenever you don't want to mean it. And so we can see that he believes this because his support for H.R. 5, the Equality Act, so-called Equality Act, specifically goes contrary to the First Amendment of the Constitution, where it says Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And when it says that, no law, he says Congress shall make no law, he says here, or the Constitution says, prohibiting the free exercise thereof, meaning the free exercise of religion. And the House Resolution 5, the so-called Equality Act, specifically puts religious people on notice that your religious beliefs do not allow you to have certain voice in your own churches, even in church schools, as to who can use what restroom, who can use what locker room. If you're operating a school, you cannot refuse transgendered, for instance, who make up an infinitesimally small portion of our society. You cannot tell a man that says he feels like he's a woman today that he can't use the women's restroom. You cannot say that you believe strongly that God created, when he created us, he created us male and female. And you cannot use that as your basis for saying men go to this restroom, women go to this restroom. I don't want to get too far afield on this right now, but we've talked about it a little bit in the past, but what they're trying to say here, or what the president is trying to say here, is that the amendments, and in fact, the rest of the Constitution really doesn't mean what you think it means. It only means what they say it means at the moment that they say that it means that. And they're trying to use that in order to overturn, you know, what point are they going to overturn other things, search and seizure and taking your property and the right to a jury trial and things like that, and the right to not self-incriminate yourself, and things that are enshrined in the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Let me encourage you to study the Constitution, read it, and read the articles, read the amendments. But specifically, Joe Biden made these statements as he was, in my opinion, unconstitutionally placing limits upon gun ownership in the United States. And Amendment 2, of course, is where we get our gun ownership. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And the courts have held that, of course, a well-regulated militia means the free citizens of the United States. And we have this right. Now, we know that there are limitations on it. There's federal background checks required to purchase guns. I think he was trying to imply that you can go to a gun show and purchase a gun, that you don't need federal background checks. Well, if you buy from a licensed gun dealer at a gun show or at a gun shop, I bought in both locations, and in both locations, I had to fill out a federal background check in order to purchase that firearm. Well, we have firearms for a purpose, and our founding fathers wisely understood that the police cannot be everywhere. The military cannot be everywhere. I remember, you know, when I was going through high school, I graduated from Revere. Our nickname was the Minutemen. And we had the Minuteman as the mascot. And if you remember the Minutemen there before the Revolutionary War, they were the men of the community. This is how it was explained to us when I was in high school. They were required, this is in New England, they were required to have and maintain firearms and to have the powder and the bullets and things that they needed to operate them. And they were to be able at a minute's notice to be able to get their firearm and to get their powder and their bullets and things and be able to respond to the defense of the community in whatever the case may be. These were free citizens, and this is the type of weaponry that they actually had, was the weaponry that was that which the military, which the infantry carried at that time. And so they actually were, if you really get into the history of it, military-grade weapons. But anyway, they were required to be able to respond because they didn't have enough police. They didn't have all the things that they needed to keep everybody safe there on the frontier and in the new colonies and things. And really, the Bible echoes some of this for us. In Exodus chapter 22, when Moses had gone up onto the mountain and he'd received the Ten Commandments, you can see that in chapter 20. And as he's given information about the Ten Commandments and follow-up laws and judgments and things like that that God gives to Moses, we come into chapter 22 and we find an interesting statement here. It says in verse 2, "If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft." And it continues on talking about some different things there about what he needs to do for restitution. But my point here is this. Even God, in instructing Moses in the law and the things that the Hebrews were to live by as they left Egypt and they were headed for the promised land, there's this recognition. The police cannot be everywhere. The community cannot provide all the security that you need. Sometimes you have to take care of yourself and your own family. And here's what I mean in Exodus chapter 22 here, where he says in verse 2, as I read, "If a thief be found breaking up," what he's talking about is he's breaking into the house. And in the context here, it would appear that people are home in the house, probably at night even, and he's found breaking up. He's caught in the act of breaking into the house. Sometimes, you know, they would have things on the roof that they could break open and come down through the roof or something like that. But whatever the case is, he's coming in, and the homeowner, maybe the man there in the house is wakes up and he sees or hears this guy breaking in, or perhaps he comes upon the guy as he's breaking in, and a struggle ensues. And it says, "and be smitten." Now, smitten there means to be hit. If he struck him with his fist, he would have smitten him with his fist. Or perhaps he had a club. Maybe he had a fire going and he had a piece of firewood and he used that to club him with it. Or perhaps he had an axe, or perhaps he had a sword. Now, keep in mind, they did not have firearms back then. But they did have swords, and swords were lethal weapons. They were instruments of deadly force, just like a gun is. Now, a sword laying there by itself doesn't do anything. It doesn't jump up and smite people or stab people. But if somebody grabs hold of it, they can use it, and if it's swung at the thief who's found breaking up, and he's smitten, and he dies, or he's whacked with an axe or something like that. However the case is, he dies. Now, remember, there are prohibitions in the Ten Commandments even about murder. You're not allowed to murder. Thou shalt not murder, and or thou shalt not kill. And in the context there, it's talking about murder. It's not talking about capital punishment. It's not talking about taking the life of a criminal that has been found guilty of a capital punishment, because they did have capital punishment that was given for certain things. But this is in the case of murder, where you get mad at somebody, you just don't like them, and you go and you say, "I'm going to kill them," and you murder them. So that is against God's commandment. Now, the case here is the thief is smitten, and he dies. And he says, "There shall no blood be shed for him." In other words, the homeowner, the guy defending his house, defending his family, defending his property that smote the thief and the thief died, this man is not going to be held guilty in any way, shape, or form. He was doing his duty. Because remember I said, police can't be anywhere. They always say, you know, police are good and I support the police. And I've had relatives who are retired from the police department and different things over the years that I've had interactions with them. And I'm not saying anything against the police, but when seconds count, as they say, when seconds count, the police are only minutes away. And sometimes, according to God's word here, God recognizes that you have to act in the moment. And so the thief is smitten, he dies, there shall no blood be shed for him, which means the man that was the homeowner, the man who was the father in the house defending his family, this man is guilty of nothing wrong. He defended his home. He defended his family. Now, he may have used a club. He may have used an axe. He may have used a sword. If this had been written today, he may have used a gun. And this is one of the reasons why our founding fathers recognized the importance of arms, the ability of the right of the people to keep and bear arms being so essential. Let me just give you how they put it. Necessary to the security of a free state. Because the police couldn't be everywhere. The military couldn't be everywhere. You know, during World War II, the Japanese were put off from invading the United States homeland, mainland, because as the one Japanese military leader, I remember he was a general or an admiral, observed that there's an American behind every blade of grass with a gun. And American gun owners today, they make the largest, if you were to put them all together, would make the largest standing army in the world. Just the hunters, the licensed hunters of Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, and probably throw in Indiana, probably outnumber the number of people in most armies. And we've got people bearing arms for a reason. It's not just a hunt. It's not just a target practice. It's because the police and the military cannot be everywhere. Sometimes people are called to defend themselves, to defend their homes, to defend their families, to defend others, and they don't have time to wait for the police. They don't have time to wait for a military force. And so if the thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. This right here, God has authorized the use of deadly force against someone breaking into your home. Now, the thief shouldn't have been there in the first place. He was certainly breaking God's laws when he was breaking in to begin with. After all, one of God's Ten Commandments is thou shalt not steal. And that's what he's there to do. He's a thief. So he's violating God's laws. In the midst of that, he's struck down, he dies. The person who defended his home and family is not guilty of his blood. No blood be shed for him. And that's fine. You say, but, well, then that means people can become some kind of a mob, a bunch of vigilantes running around. No. In fact, that's where verse 3 comes in. He said, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he shall make or should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he should be sold for his theft. And here's what he's saying here. You see the guy break in, you struggle with him, he gets away. And you say, well, you know, I recognize that guy. I know who he is. That guy lives down the road a block or two, and he got away tonight, but I'll get him tomorrow. And so the next day, you go down to where he's at, you find him, and you take your sword and you whack him with it and stab him with it, and you kill him, or you whack him with a club or something, and you kill him. Guess what? You're no longer defending your home. You're no longer defending your family. You're engaged in vigilantism. And now that person is guilty. So does the thief get away with it then if he gets away that night? No. That's where he's found. And instead of the homeowner going and exacting vengeance and killing him, he turns him over to the authorities, and the authorities can send whatever equivalent they had in their day. They had the equivalent of people who could be used for policing and things. They can go apprehend the individual, bring him in, found out what happened, and he can make full restitution. As he said, if he has nothing, he could be sold for his theft. And this is how God prescribed it. So yes, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Doesn't matter what Joe Biden says in his executive orders. We have a constitution. We have a rule of law. Executive orders do not amend or annul the Constitution of the United States. There's a process for that. If he wants to get rid of the Second Amendment, he needs to follow the process. He needs to go for an amendment. And, well, that's a whole nother story, which we don't have time for. But thanks for listening right now, and God bless, and keep praying for this country.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.